You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, June 17th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So excited for you to join us today. We've got all sorts of great content for you. Over the next 2 hours, we're here every weekday live at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and 4 p.m. Mountain Time, where we join our news correspondent, Priscilla Seibin, out there in Colorado. How you doing, Priscilla?
Excellent. Dude, it is
hot today. Hot today. Oh, that? Okay. Now I'm understanding things a little better. What are you up to up there in Colorado?
Oh, nothing. Just enjoying the sunshining sunshine, I guess.
The sunshiny sunshine. Was it 90 degrees out there? 100? How hot?
I don't even know. I left Texas because of the heat, but I didn't know. In Colorado, you're closer to the sun. It hurts.
That's right. You're a mile closer to the sun. It's been cloudy and about 60, 65 degrees out here in Portland.
Oh, nice.
We are certainly enjoying that. Well, we'll get to Priscilla in our 420 radio news. She's going to bring us some stories coming out of New York, where they're still trying to hammer out a compromise on the medical marijuana bill there. We've got the latest updates. We also have an update on legalization in Oregon. We've got legalization in Arizona update. We've got more awful, awful quotes from the Prince of Rotundity himself, Governor Chris Christie. And D.C. looks like it's going to have the best decrim law in the nation. We'll tell you all about that coming up after the first break. And then after the news, we're going to go behind the headlines, where the legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington is causing those states and others to take a look at child protective services and child endangerment laws with respect to marijuana legalization. You know, Priscilla, there's been a lot of people out there in Colorado who have had their pot use used against them in child custody situations, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Have you ever met anybody that's been in that situation?
Truthfully, no. A lot of the tokettes and tokers that I know are really responsible adults, you know, just responsible Americans for, you know, legal use of pot and not trying to get crazy with it. I mean, not really.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's why a lot of these courts are starting to say, you know, just being around pot doesn't mean you're a bad parent. We're going to take a look at that in the Behind the Headlines segment. Also on today's show, we have got an interview with Jason Miller, who's a lobbyist with Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, or RAMP. We got a chance to talk to him in Fort Worth, Texas last week. He's going to tell us all about the Texas GOP platform and how it almost embraced medical marijuana and did embrace industrial hemp. That's coming up in the second half hour. Also, at the end of the show, we have time for a stupid prohibition story. Big Daddy Fink forwarded it to me yesterday, and it was so stupid, I had to include it in the first hour. So we will get to that at the end of the show today. And then we'll take things into hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where you are the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll open up the phone lines at 971-533-7111 and take your calls, comments, questions, concerns, anything you want to know about marijuana and its legalization. We're here to help you right here at 420 Radio. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Priscilla Seibin and the news live from Colorado. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show on 420radio.org. Stay tuned. We're back after these messages.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. Drug Truth Network Century of Lies with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas. Replaying Mondays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
And this is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. The final version of a medical marijuana bill in New York was submitted before midnight, qualifying it for a final vote on the final day of the legislative session Thursday. We reported yesterday that Governor Andrew Cuomo had issued a list of changes he wanted to see that mostly served to appease law enforcement concerns. The governor wanted many qualifying conditions eliminated, such as post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries, but only post-concussion syndrome, lupus, and diabetes were removed from the bill. Governor Cuomo wanted to ban cannabis smoking, but the new bill does not. Bill sponsors did bow to the governor's complaint that 2.5 ounces of marijuana per month was excessive, reducing the possession limit to just 2 ounces per month. Wah, wah. The governor's wish for a 5-year sunset clause was also rejected. Under the bill, medical cannabis would be taxed at 7%, patients would not be allowed to cultivate cannabis, and only 19 or fewer certified growers will be licensed statewide during the program's first 2 years.
Jeez. All right. Well, so now it's not the worst possible medical marijuana bill. It's just terribly awful. Okay. First of all, this reduction from 2.5 ounces to 2 ounces, because, you know, that extra half ounce made all the difference, right? What do they think these patients are doing with their marijuana? Well, obviously, they think it's diversion. They think they're selling it. But really, does a half ounce make that much difference? I don't see how that's a big deal. This other thing, 19 or fewer certified growers. We're talking about a state with 20 million people. So less than one grower per 1 million people. Even if 1 out of 1,000 people get medical marijuana, that's 1,000 people per grower, right? There's just no way they'll be able to keep up with any sort of patient demand. Of course, maybe the idea isn't to have that many patients for that much demand. It sounds like it to me. And then taxing medical cannabis at 7%, you know, there's always that question about whether or not medicine should be taxed. And, you know, if it's going to be a strictly medical program, I think that's a little cruel to be trying to raise money off of the sickest and most disabled people. And then not allowing lupus or diabetes or post-concussion syndrome, it just always angers me when we have legislators and governors and law enforcement people trying to decide what the medical application of cannabis should be instead of doctors. You know, why don't we just let doctors decide what is going to work best for and leave it to them? It's not like they're dispensing oxycodone or something that's terribly addictive and you know, terribly harmful to one's liver or to one's health. You know, we treat it like it's plutonium, for God's sake. It's just crazy. I mean, Colorado hasn't fallen apart since you guys had medical and now you've got legalization. Doesn't look like, what was the headline I saw, that there wasn't pot zombies roaming your streets in search of strains?
No, no pot zombies. And I mean, 19 million tax dollars raised. I mean, the kids, there's kids getting iPadded. Every single kid is getting an iPad in schools. And I don't think they're complaining.
I guess not.
Well, the New Approach Oregon campaign has raised over $1 million and surpassed 100,000 signatures. The other legalization campaign in Oregon is beset by labor controversy. The Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp, or CRRH, was picketed by its signature gatherers who walked off the job last week. The United Campaign Workers, or UCH, posted a demand letter to CRRH complaining of late and bounced paychecks and CRRH's failure to reimburse for travel expenses. CRRH is gathering signatures for Initiative 21, a constitutional amendment called Help End Marijuana Prohibition, or HEMP, and Initiative 22, a statutory legalization called the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, or OCTA. HEMP has submitted 43,000 of the over 116,000 signatures needed, and OCTA has submitted just 34,000 of the over 87,000 signatures it requires to qualify for the November ballot. UCW also wanted to discuss, quote, why we've continued on hemp so late in the game and if it's going to fail, end quote. On Monday, UCW offered to return to work unconditionally, but were locked out by CRRH management. UCW says the lockout is illegal and will be filing a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board. CRRH did not return 420 Radio News' request for a comment.
Wow. All right. So this is difficult. You know, we got New Approach Oregon. It seems to be, you know, going just fine toward legalization. $1 million raised, 100,000 signatures. CRRH, they're the same group that put the legalization on the ballot in 2012 that was also beset by campaign problems. Nothing as severe as this, but had funding issues. And while it made the ballot, it failed in the vote with just 46.5%. And it's a shame to have to report on this and these things going on, because everybody involved with CRRH has the right intent in wanting to legalize marijuana and to try to come up with the best, you know, constitutional protection for that and legal protection for that. But imagine if we hadn't, if we had heeded the advice of national funders who said, don't go for 2014. If New Approach Oregon had waited and not gone for 2014, this would be the only legalization story in Oregon. A story of unpaid campaign workers and bounce checks and frivolous amendments that aren't going anywhere and signature counts that with just 3 weeks left have less than a third and less than half of what they need to qualify for the ballot. We didn't need to have that kind of continued additional failure propagated through the airwaves with respect to Oregon legalization. So kudos to New Approach for stepping up and running a responsible campaign, running a campaign professionally with some big pocket funders and giving us something to focus on aside from the continued failures of CRRH.
Safer Arizona, a grassroots coalition of four volunteer organizations, has called off its signature gathering campaign to legalize marijuana in 2014. The group explained that they had only gathered around a third of the signatures it was seeking. Arizona law requires over 250,000 signatures to place an initiative on the ballot. As a volunteer effort, the group explained it did not have the manpower and money required to complete a statewide initiative drive. However, the group is resolved to fight for legalization in 2016 by allying with the Marijuana Policy Project, the national advocacy group with deep pockets that put medical marijuana on the ballot and won with 50.13% of the vote in 2010. Over the next couple of years, we'll be building a broad coalition of community activists, local leaders, organizations, and businesses that are committed to passing a law that regulates marijuana similarly to alcohol, end quote, said Mason Burt, Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project.
Well, this is just another illustration of folks that have the best of intentions, grassroots groups that want to try to legalize marijuana, but fail to realize or accept that that requires money. you gotta have big money to pull these things off, and it shouldn't be that way. Democracy should be open to all us as volunteers, but anytime you hear an initiative campaign that comes out and says, well, if we only get, and that's always followed by, you know, one every person to fill out 100 sheets, or if we only get $10 from every supporter, or if we only, well, if we only is code word for we can't do it. That's what it's code word for. You need to start these things out before you even start proposing legalizing marijuana. You've got to get the coalition built. You've got to get the funders in line. You've got to have major support from national organizations. And then you move forward. The only legalization that went anywhere, anywhere, without that kind of game plan was Proposition 19 in 2010. And even that was bankrolled by Richard Lee pouring $1.5 million of his own money, his life savings, into getting it on the ballot. And it damn near succeeded. This is too important, and people's lives are and time is too important to get them all amped up and hopeful for a legalization that has no chance of making it anywhere or getting on the ballot. Let's get serious about this. Washington and Colorado have laid the blueprint for how this is done. We need to follow that blueprint and get legalization in as many states as possible as soon as possible.
Governor Chris Christie said Monday on his monthly radio show that medical marijuana, quote, is a fallacy, and all state medical marijuana programs, quote, are a front for legalization. New Jersey's medical marijuana program is one of the most restrictive in the nation, a point that was made recently in newspaper editorials. One woman's op-ed explained how New Jersey's strict rules cost her daughter's life. One newspaper said that the medical marijuana program is, quote, on life support because so few doctors and patients will enroll. For Governor Chris Christie, however, low enrollment isn't a sign of his failure to implement a workable program. It's confirmation of his anti-medical marijuana bias. Quote, what there's a huge demand for is marijuana, not medical marijuana, said the governor, because when we run a medically-based program, you don't see the demand. End quote. Last week, the president of one of the state's three dispensaries quit, complaining he'd been working for 3 years for no pay since lack of patients couldn't keep the business afloat. Governor Christie mocked that complaint, asking, quote, what did these folks say? They weren't making enough money. You know, if this was a medical program, what's everybody worried about making money for? End quote.
Yeah, because, you know, all those hospitals in New Jersey, they do it just for free. All those CEOs of Humana and Aetna and United Health, they just show up to work and do it for free. All those doctors and nurses in the emergency rooms, why, they just show it up for free? Because it's a medical program. Nobody's really worried about the money, Governor Christie. Why is that only a complaint for a medical marijuana business? And we're not even talking about a guy who was trying to get rich. He worked for 3 years for no pay, volunteering, trying to help the sickest, most disabled people in your state that you, Governor Christie, keep putting roadblocks in front of. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy when you make your medical marijuana program so shitty, nobody wants to get on it and nobody can get on it. And then you crow about, see, nobody really wants medical marijuana if you make it medical. Oh, give me a break.
That's well said. Congress does not appear to be willing to overturn the District of Columbia's marijuana decriminalization law. The new law was signed by the mayor on March 31st and is currently under its required 60-day review by Congress, which has a final say over any laws in Washington, D.C. Under the new law, as of July 17th, any adult 18 years of age or older caught in possession of an ounce or less of marijuana is subject to only a $25 fine and the confiscation of their weed. No members of Congress have stepped up to sponsor legislation to block the decriminalization, perhaps heeding the nation's change in sentiment after a 219-189 vote in the House to defund DEA raids on medical marijuana states. Congress's newfound relaxed attitude toward marijuana in D.C. may be put to the test this November. However, when district residents may be voting on full-scale marijuana legalization. No. Sorry to beat that up for you.
No, that's fine. No, you know, this is good news that Congress doesn't want to mess around with this. But boy, can you imagine in Washington, D.C., they're going to have medical marijuana dispensaries and $25 tickets for marijuana possession. Yet in Congress, they'll still be arguing to keep marijuana prohibited and going after the people who are trying to legalize in the rest of the United States. This can't stand. It's going to change very quickly from here on out, folks. That's really, really good news. Thank you so much, Priscilla.
Hey.
It's 420 in Denver, Colorado. I'm sure you've got important business to attend to. We're going to take a break here ourselves, and when we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at Child Protective Services in legal marijuana states. How does that work? Stick around and find out.
Fighting prohibition since 2012. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Welcome back, everybody. 22 and a half after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines, where I found a headline on FoxNews.com. Yes, Fox News. This, under their crime and courts section, entitled Changing Pot Laws Prompt Child Endangerment Review. And, you know, considering the source, I'm really, really happy to see this story. It opens up by talking about how various parents have lost custody or had endangered custody of their children based on not just their use of marijuana or their growing of marijuana, but their advocacy for changing marijuana laws. Now, the cases they point out were decided eventually in favor of the parents, but anytime you're a parent and your kid is taken away from you for any amount of time, or even just it's threatened, that can have a very terrifying impact on your psyche. I know this, well, not firsthand, but secondhand, directly from a good friend of mine, Lindsay Reinhart from Idaho, who's now living in Oregon. She is one of these parents who left her home state of Idaho. Medical refugees, we call them. She's a multiple sclerosis patient, so she came to Oregon to take advantage of the medical marijuana program, but was fighting for medical marijuana in Idaho and was still staying in Idaho until an event at the local school prompted cops to come do a welfare check on her home and discovered her stash of medical marijuana. Now, the statute of limitation, or not statute of limitations, but the time where they could press charges has expired, so she's no longer subject to charges for the 8 or 9 ounces of marijuana that they found in her home. But it was enough to scare the hell out of her after her kids got taken away for a brief amount of time. They got them back within the week. But still, 1 week without your children is pretty terrifying. No charges have been filed, but now it was enough to have scared her into leaving Idaho and coming to Oregon. And the Fox News story tells the story also of our friend Diane Fornbacher, who's the executive publisher and editor of
Ladybud online, ladybud.com. She moved to Colorado just this year because CPS visited her in New Jersey. That's right, Governor Chris Christie's New Jersey. When a teacher alerted school officials that her son mentioned hemp at school. That's right, her son just mentioned hemp. Industrial hemp, not even psychoactive marijuana. Industrial hemp, just mentioned it. And that was enough to cause Child Protective Services to come to her house, knock on the door, and do a welfare check to see if everything was okay with the kid. And this just goes to show you how much fear cannabis-using parents have been living in all these years, to the point where government officials could be called to your home merely because you advocate for a change in the laws. Other cases here mention a man, a Colorado man who lost custody of his children after he got his medical marijuana card, a Michigan couple who lost their daughter after the ex-husband said the pot plant in their house endangered the kids. Lawmakers are trying to do something about this. They tried in Colorado this year, a couple of Democratic lawmakers tried to update Colorado's child endangerment laws. Now, Colorado, of course, has a constitutional right for folks to grow and use cannabis. However, cannabis is still a controlled substance under federal law. So when they have these legal definitions of a drug-endangered child, you can't have pot around that kid just because it's still federally illegal. Now, the lawmakers in Colorado tried to change the law to say that marijuana has to be shown to be harmful or a risk to the kids. It can't just merely be there and be a risk. But that didn't get anywhere. It was opposed by marijuana legalization opponents, you know, the antis, who, you know, say, oh, it's federal, it's illegal. And just because it's illegal, that endangers kids, right? Because there'll be break-ins or robberies or whatever. But also, some pot-using parents oppose this law because they feared it could be used to take their kids by, you know, setting examples of how you would take a kid away in a state where marijuana is legal. Seems like the parents would rather just fight it out in the courts and have the courts set a precedent based on their constitutional right. Now, the courts are wading into this in Colorado. The State Court of Appeals in 2010 sided with that pot-using dad who lost his visitation rights, even though he never used pot in front of his daughter, right? Never did. The county, county court had decided that he couldn't have unsupervised visitation until he passed a drug test. But the appeals court said using pot away from your kids does not suggest any risk of harm to the children. It's a rapidly evolving field of law, but we need to be standing up for the rights of these parents in these legal states to not have their child custody threatened for doing what's perfectly legal. We'll be back with Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, Jason Miller from Fort Worth, Texas, right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
Drug Policy Facts, replaying Fridays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319.
Activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back. I had this great interview with Jason Miller from Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition.
Hey everyone, Radical Russ here at the conclusion of the second annual Texas Regional Normal Conference, and I'm sitting here with Jason Miller, who's the founder and CEO of Internet Lava and has gotten very involved in the marijuana movement here, specifically with a group called Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. One of my favorite acronyms, RAMP, one of the great new groups that started out. So Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you into activism and about this GOP convention that was just here.
Oh, I'm going to tell you guys all about it. So I got involved with Normal about 4.5 years ago. My company designs and develops websites for lawyers, so we've been a sponsor of their legal seminars that they have twice a year in Aspen and Key West. So I've been going to the last 8 consecutive seminars, and I've just really felt very much involved in the movement by getting to know everybody and talking with everybody. And we just recently got back from the GOP convention. I actually got involved with that originally 2 years ago. I was a delegate, and I met a lot of the Ron Paul group, liberty-oriented Republicans, and that was in 2012, and now it's no longer about that specific movement. It's about people like us, people like me and the people that I work with, our political director, John Balcom, our assistant executive director, Zoe Russell, and our founder, our founders, Ann and Bob Lee, and the work that we're doing to introduce the ideas of reforming marijuana laws into the GOP and making sure that we're doing it in a way that is digestible and something that we can move forward with, because we know this is happening. We've got to do this. And I met Ann Lee just last year. I've been involved with Houston Normal for about a year, and we met. And it was basically, for a long time, it was her and Bob, and they were providing information to people and going to all these Republican events. And when I met them, I decided, you know what, let's get this going a step further. You know, let's get a website, let's get members, let's grow the organization, let's get a strategy, let's get, you know, nice marketing material, a nice brand. So I came in and helped out with that. And now, 6 months into myself and Zoe getting involved, this has been the culmination of a lot of work that just took place over the weekend, with the entire week, actually. Zoe's been up here since Monday in the committee meetings, the platform committee meetings, and John Balcom and myself have come up, part of the conference as delegates, and, RAMP kind of formed an alliance with other medical marijuana advocates that were already doing this as well, and a lot of them didn't even know RAMP existed until the GOP convention, and we aligned with them and some other liberty-oriented Republicans, and we put through some serious measures into place. In the first temporary platform committee, there was a resolution to add language into the platform for Texans to have safe and legal access to medical cannabis prescribed by a doctor. And that was a compromise between RAMP, the medical marijuana people, and our opponents actually compromised with us and changed the language a little bit to something they would accept, and it narrowly passed. It was actually a tie, 14-14, and then the chairman broke the tie and voted in favor of the medical marijuana. And that made it through the temporary platform committee. And that's the first time anything like that has ever happened. And it was because of a lot of very emotional testimony from patients, people that have children that are suffering, family members that are suffering, and it was very very heated debate that took place. So then this is before the convention starts. So the convention starts on that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So this is actually going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So more delegates start arriving every day. And it seems like the more and more delegates that arrive and the more of the party body that's there as far as the number of people, the harder and harder it is. So the following day, because our people always show up early, we get in there, we show up early, and you know, we get things done. So the following day was the permanent platform committee. So they meet and they vote on it again. But what happens in between that time is you have to go into your Senate district, and each Senate district elects one platform committee representative. And what happens is we look at who voted for it, who voted against it, and the ones who voted against it, what our goal was to push some of them off the committee and push some of our people on. And the ones that voted for it, we were trying to keep them on. Well, what happened was ended up a lot of them that voted for it switched their vote in the permanent committee, probably because they were being threatened, probably because they were afraid of losing the position. So they ended up, you know, a lot of people went around and just started whipping the votes, and they whipped them against us the other way. Another thing that what my job actually was that particular day, and this is what I did all day long, was to go into my Senate district and find the best possible candidate that can align with, you know, the biggest group of people that are with us, and run him against the person that voted against, because in my district, he was one of the people that voted against it. So I found that, you know, the best candidate I could find, he was a U.S. Navy veteran. He was also an author and a lecturer, and he was just a very friendly, nice guy, you know, very likable. And I actually had to run over to the Omni Hotel across the street. I printed out flyers, you know, came back in, put them on all the chairs. We nominated him from the floor. We ran him against, there was actually three people running in the race. So the person that was on the committee, he actually ended up getting pushed off and somebody else came on. It wasn't our guy, but our guy definitely took some of the votes away and influenced that happening. So, you know, we had an impact in a lot of different Senate districts as far as the platform committee, the permanent committee, it's seeing how it shaped up. So we had an impact in that, and we formed alliances with different groups that were looking to do different things. And it's a lot of kind of, you know, people go around and kind of do some sneaky things and form these alliances. There's a lot of whispering in the hallways, and it's very fun.
A sick game of Survivor.
right. Yeah, it really is. So anyway, the Permanent Platform Committee got together, and we voted on the language that was already a part of the Temporary Platform Committee's report. Medical marijuana was a part of the Texas State GOP's platform. So that's the report. That's not the adopted platform. Right. That happened on Saturday. I'll get to that. But the Permanent Committee, they get together. Now, the people who are part of the permanent committee, that voting was done, that all shapes up. And this just happens in a matter of a few hours.
Sure.
So permanent platform committee gets together. They strike the medical marijuana language from the platform. You know, they vote on it again, and it's out of there. And then what happened was there was actually a bit of a compromise. We were able to negotiate and get a support for the medical community being able to do research into the medical effectiveness of cannabis. So it was kind of a research thing. We'll say, hey, well, you're not going to let us have, you know, support access to medical marijuana or medical cannabis. Let's have something about some research. So that passed through, and that was part of the platform.
Wow.
And let me go back just a little bit, because in the temporary platform committee, industrial hemp cultivation did make it in. And it was a unanimous vote.
Yeah.
Nobody opposed it. Permanent committee comes up, never even came up. It went right on through. So into the permanent platform committee's report, they put together a report, and that goes out to all the delegates, and then they have the general session where they adopt the platform. Now, adopting the platform, it's an arena of 10,000 people trying to adopt this platform. And there's parliamentary procedure. You have to know the rules. They try to change the rules on you so certain things can't happen. And it's just a crazy process. So and it's a learning experience every time. Being that this is, you know, 2 years ago when I did this, I was just sitting in the audience voting A or nay. This time I was in there, you know, making sure that we had our microphones, you know, taken up and doing all of that. So what ended up happening was at the permanent platform committee, even though the medical marijuana support did not make it into the platform, what we were able to do, and this was thanks to not myself, this was thanks to a lot of other people that were working really hard. I don't have a list of all their names, but we're going to be putting out a lot of information on the internet and providing more details from some of the people that were in there. But this is just kind of a general overview. What happened was somebody, you know, decided, let's do a minority report. And minority report basically says it's kind of like a dissenting opinion.
Sure.
It kind of says that, okay, well, this group of people have a dissenting opinion that medical marijuana, safe and legal access for Texans to have medical cannabis. And seven people on that platform committee signed that minority report. And for us, that was huge. Yeah. I mean, that was huge. So what our opposition did is they went and did their own minority report that was signed by, ours was signed by eight people. Theirs was signed by seven people. Their minority report was to strike the language about the medical cannabis research.
Huh.
So, I mean, these people are just, I mean, these seven people that signed this committee report, we've got their names. They're on our Facebook page. There's a photo of the report. These people, we're pushing all of them out. We're going to go into each of those Senate districts. We're going to find the best people. We're pushing them out. I mean, not even supporting some type of research. And this
we don't
isn't,
even want to know.
This isn't taxpayer-funded research. Yeah. This is just getting the government out of the way.
Sure.
So our medical community, Texas is known for the medical innovation mm-hmm. and entrepreneurship that goes on here in the medical community. And we don't like federal oversight. We don't like federal bans. We don't like Obamacare. You know, it inhibits all of that innovation. And here we are, you know, coming out and saying that we can't even allow for the government, federal government, to get out of the way and let something happen with some medical research. You know, Texas needs to step up a little bit and, you know, say that, look, we don't care what the federal government says. We're going to do this. Texas is a big state. You know, we could do some major research here. I mean, really the pioneer of the medical marijuana research is happening in Israel.
Yeah.
And what's going on there is just amazing. And, there's no reason why we can't do that here. There's no reason why we can't do that in Houston.
Right.
I mean, there's no reason not to. So this was just, it was disgusting. It was just terrible that this happened. So they put in their little minority report of removing our language that we did get into the platform. So anyway, the next day we go in at 6 a.m. and we get on the microphones and we make sure that they don't have any spots on the microphones and all of that. And we spoke. The very first thing that came, they did it at the very, very, very beginning. You know, the very first thing that came up was the medical marijuana. And we had, you know, very intense testimony, two speaking for it. There was one person that spoke against it. And it was emotional. I mean, it was, we were getting cheers. We were getting applause. There were some sound bites that people really liked. But overall, they didn't like, of course, they didn't like the idea of medical cannabis. Not accepting of that. And we expected that to happen. You know, we knew that was going to happen. We knew it was going to get, we were going to try to put it back in and they wouldn't allow us to put it back in. So we didn't expect to win. But for us, it was a victory because the debate happened on the floor in front of the entire delegation. And, you know, there was people that we were talking to, just your everyday, regular baby boomer Republican couple, you know, sitting in my Senate district. And, you know, they were telling my sister, they were telling her, like, you know, we have a family member that is a U.S. Marine and suffers from PTSD. And they were voting against medical marijuana. They didn't know anything about that aspect of it. But in that debate, when we were talking and they heard the words PTSD come up in that debate, they immediately switched. So it's something as simple as that that can win these people over is just education. And just having the discussion and education, and it only had a couple, like I said, two spoke in favor, one spoke against, and they motioned to stop the debate. That's all they can do to us, is motion to cut off the debate, and the debate stops. Because anything that moves the process along quicker, people are typically going to vote in favor of it. So if I motion to end debate and have a vote right now, that's typically going to, people are going to support that. They're going to, okay, let's go and do it and just move forward. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, people, we're sitting in there for 8 hours, you know, getting this done. So they cut the debate, and they don't want to hear our message. You know, they don't want us up there educating the delegates about, you know, medical marijuana research, the benefits of cannabis. They don't want them to hear our message.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, what happened was, talking about the research, you know, Zoe Russell, our assistant executive director, she gave great testimony about, you know, let's just have some research. We don't like the federal government getting in our way, in our medical community. We're known for our medical community here. And that was met with roaring applause. And we had a vote on it, and the vote was so close as far as the research, the vote was so close that they couldn't even tell. In a voice vote, we stood up, everybody stood up. Okay, some people are sitting down, some people are standing up. Nobody could tell, you know, what the result was. So then we do a motion to, I think that something came up about, okay, well, let's do a roll call. And then voting on whether or not we do a roll call, they didn't want a roll call, you know, of course, and that the roll call didn't work. So then, you know, there was a little bit more discussion, not debate of on the issues, which there should have been, but there was a lot of time wasting and discussion of, you know, how are we voting for this? People weren't sure what they're voting for. They were voting for the minority report that says, let's strike this out of the platform. But the language is up on the screen, and some people may have thought, oh, we're adding it into the platform, like they weren't really sure. And it was clarified very, they made sure that people knew very clearly that, you know, you're voting to take this out of the platform. And they had another vote, and we just yelled as loud as we could. It was still super close, but, you know, our research got stripped out. And that's not the worst story of the day. I mean, there's some bad things in that platform. You know, the YR group, the Young Republicans, have publicly came out immediately and denounced that, you know, the platform that was adopted. I mean, it's some parts of it are worse than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Really, you know, from my perspective, I don't care all that much about the platform stuff myself. I mean, you know, the platform doesn't really matter. You know, the candidates don't follow it all that closely anyway. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty much a meaningless document. You know, it's just way too long, and there's too much weird stuff in there. So anyway, you know, for us, it was more about networking. It was more about reaching out to the base, the Republican Party in Texas, and talking to people, and, you know, talking to doctors, talking to pastors, talking to veterans, and just educating them and telling them about medical marijuana. And we, you know, brought in a lot of, you know, literature. We handed out, you know, maybe 2,000 4-page newsletters. We had stickers. We came in at 6 in the morning, put them on all the chairs. People were sitting there reading them, not only reading them, but putting them in their backpacks and taking them home. And, you know, this is what's winning people over. And, you know, we were working very closely with a group called MAMA, which is Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism. And they were telling their stories. And these women are just amazing. Talia Michelle and Amy Lou Falwell, they were just getting their hands. They were talking to any legislator they could get their hands on.
Yeah.
I mean, any of them. They were just going just right in there just talking to them and introducing us to them. And we're introducing them to people. And it was just a lot of socializing, a lot of networking, a lot of events, a lot of parties, and a lot of winning people over. And that's what we're doing. We're coming in, and now the Texas GOP, they know that RAMP is a force to be reckoned with. They know that groups supporting medical marijuana, marijuana law reform, they know there's a lot of groups supporting that, and that these groups are going to be more engaged politically. We absolutely, all of these groups, normal, you know, everybody as far as from the grassroots members actually going into whether it's the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, you know, a lot of people are involved with the Libertarian Party, and that's good. You know, but we really need people to step up on the going into the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, becoming delegates, mm-hmm. and going to the conventions, and not just being delegates and going to the conventions, but actually participating in the platform debates and trying to get people on certain committees, the rules committees, the platform committees, nominations committees, and participating in that process, because it's so important. It's so important because, you know, we have basically a two-party system in this country. And we have to get involved in both of these parties, and we have to go in and we have to be part of the delegation. That's what we have to do to talk about these issues and to bring up these discussions and to educate people. And we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep talking to our legislators, and we're just going to keep moving forward. So
that was Jason Miller with Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, or RAMP. You can find out more about them at rampgop.com. They're also on Twitter at rampgop, which is kind of redundant, isn't it? Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, GOP. But somebody probably already had RAMP, so I can't really blame them. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to end up the day with a really stupid prohibition story. Stay tuned.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Well, how do you? My name is Bob Weir, and I play with the Grateful Dead. And I just like to say that I've seen too many people just absolutely wasted by heroin. So if you're thinking about ever doing that, I'd have to caution you not to. I've seen too many people, like up-and-coming young musicians, that get into heroin and they don't up and come anymore.
Just keep chugging on.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information.
Prohibition story.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition story.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. Peachtree City, Georgia. Police arrested Zachary Peek, age 29, for indecent exposure last Friday after they found him swimming in a public pool without any clothes on. When police made the arrest, Peek invited the officer to, quote, check out his YouTube channel, end quote. The officer didn't think anything of it at first, said Lieutenant Mark Brown. He eventually got around to find some time to look up the gentleman's YouTube page and found a significant grow house. Police aren't sure why Peek told the officer to look at his videos, Lieutenant Brown said. The officers were able to secure a search warrant, and we found 33 marijuana plants and articles to grow marijuana. Along with indecent exposure, Peek is charged with manufacturing and possessing marijuana. I'm Freddie Farrakh with your stupid prohibition.
We really gotta take a look at Freddie Farrakh. Guy's having some problems lately, it seems. And I'd like to just say something out there to all these local TV news websites like NBC and CBS. Stop with the automatic refresh of the comments, will ya? If you're wondering why there was a big gap in that story just a second ago, I go to scroll up and the thing had refreshed and posted some other story up at the top. Thanks, NBC. Same goes for CBS. They do the same thing on those local CBS websites. And the other thing I've had enough of, since I'm complaining, the hover over stuff. Like you move your mouse up toward the top of the page to go highlight or get something, and you hover on some menu item that pops up some full-page thing, and then it's there, and you can't get rid of it. And my God, back in my day, we had newspapers. And they never changed. All right, so I'm a little grumpy. But let's make this into a learning, teachable moment here. A learning situation. Don't video your grow site. Don't video your grow site and put it on YouTube. Don't put it on YouTube and then tell the officer to look up your YouTube page. That doesn't make very much sense. And if you have a significant grow house posted on YouTube, perhaps it's best you go swimming with some trunks on. When you hear a story like this, it's almost like, is this guy, like, wanted to get arrested? Swimming in the pool naked, indecent exposure, and then telling them to go look up the videos of your grow site doesn't make a whole lot of sense, man. But that's the way it goes here sometimes when you're dealing with the stupid prohibition stories. Of course, we could just make it legal, and then this guy doesn't have to worry about what he's posted as far as grows. But this is good stuff for people to know about. And that is, everything that you're using as far as like a cell phone goes, pictures, videos, snapshots, text, all of that, none of that's secure. None of that's secure. Edward Snowden showed us how much the NSA can snoop into this stuff, to the point where they can turn your cell phone on without activating the screen or the LED lights and use its camera and microphone to be recording you without your knowledge. Short of you taking the battery out of the damn thing. When you take snapshots, most of these cameras that have GPS geotag the snapshots. So if they see a picture of a lush garden, and maybe not, it's not even your garden, maybe you're taking a picture of a friend's garden, they've got the GPS coordinates of exactly where that's at. Now, Speed Limit in the chat room is saying, you know, don't post on YouTube if it's illegal, but please post it if it's legal. Well, even then, we still have the problem of, you know, we told that story earlier of the parents who can lose child custody, even in legal states where it can become, a weapon in the divorce court or whatever, in the family court. So maybe even then it's not, you know, appropriate. Now, I made a choice long ago that I was just going to be open. I was not going to try to hide who I am or what I stand for. But I also made that choice knowing that I was childless, that I didn't have a mortgage. I was married at the time, but now even freer to speak my mind and to say what I'm going to say. So let me do that. Let me go take the pictures of industrial grows in Denver and the cannabis cups and all of that. And you guys keep it quiet if you're in Kansas or in Missouri or Florida or wherever you're listening to me from. I don't want to hear about you getting busted. I don't want to hear about you having to do time or your family getting split up. We don't need that to happen. Let's keep fighting to change these laws. Until then, let's try to stay safe out there. And yes, Runaround in the chat room is saying, you know, this chat room is recorded by our federal friends. Well, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But assume that it is. Just assume that it is. It's all the time we got for hour one here, but stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio, hour two, where we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Thanks to all our sponsors who are scrolling by, who help keep us on the air, and you could also be one of our sponsors. If you become a VIP member of 420 Radio, just visit 420radio.org and look for the VIP membership button at the top. A small monthly deduction via PayPal is all it takes to help keep us afloat. You can join for as little as $4.20 a month, but if you upgrade to the $9.99 a month, you get access to all of our VIP materials. Check them out.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For Priscilla Seibin, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a scene, you manage, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a scene, you manage.